Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
As I thought about what I wanted to share with you today, I was drawn to, and part of it was because of preparation for our next series, which is going to be awesome, called The Story. But part of it was because it reminded me of that verses in Hebrews. And I went back to Exodus chapter 2, where those verses talk about. And there is a mom and a dad, especially a mom, and a couple other ladies that had an integral part in a story that happened. You know, we think of Moses and we think of all these amazing things that he did by the power of God, and he did. He was the one that was given the task to delivering with God's power and help the people of Israel and leading them through the wilderness for all that time to take them to the doorstep of that deliverance to that promised land. But so many times we forget about the beginning of his story. And as we read, and we'll read today in Exodus chapter 2, he was a baby born in a time where to be a baby boy in the Jewish history at this point in time in Egypt, the slavery was not a good thing, because the Pharaoh had said to not allow this to happen. But without several women that interjected or God put in this young man, this baby's life, to help shape him who he was going to be. You know, just to give you a little bit of backstory, there's a gap between, we think of Joseph, and we remember Joseph right at the end of Genesis, and Joseph was a man that was sold by his own family into Egypt because he was a bit of a young whippersnapper. And God put him in Egypt to help deliver not only Egypt during that time, but to protect his family. But it wasn't always easy, because we see 400 years later, all the things that Joseph did were forgotten, and his people had grown from 70 strong to close to or more than a million people. And if you're a person of history, you know that if a conquering king or a king that's over top of slaves, that's not usually a good thing. So the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. And in amongst all of this, we meet a faithful family, man and a wife, who we later learn in Exodus are actually Moses' parents, who were just trying to follow God, and they had a child. And as we approach this, we remember, if we read in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 17, you know, remember I said that the king or the Pharaoh at that time had said, if there was any Jewish babies, if there's any Hebrew baby boys that were born, his solution to a growing population was to start making sure there was no new young boys. And so he told the midwives that were kind of working with the Hebrews, the Jews, and said, listen, if there's a boy that's born, you just, well, we'll keep it PG. You take care of it. You make sure that the baby doesn't survive. But in verse 17 of chapter 1, to help set the scene, we see this, and it says, the midwife, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do, and they let the boys live. And so that brings us to chapter 2, and I'm going to go through here, and I'm going to talk about specifically three ladies that had an impact on Moses' life. And that's where the title of the message, The Impact of Faithful Women in the Lives of Us, as well. So as we read, starting in chapter 2 of verse 1 in Exodus, second book of the Bible at the beginning, we read this. It says, now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch, and then placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. As we stop here for a minute, we just give names to this couple. We don't see it here in Exodus chapter 2, but we see it later in, I believe it's chapter 6, that this couple's name was Amram. That was the husband, and I'm going to pronounce it Jacobed. Was the mom, was the wife. And so these were Moses' parents. And you kind of picture this idea. You're just, this family was just trying to live for God. They were trying to serve Him. I mean, amongst a difficult situation. Slavery was not easy, and it was an incredibly difficult process for them. And in the midst of this, they were striving to remain faithful to God. And even the very act of, you know, having another child, as we know that there was siblings that we learn about later in the book of Exodus. But even in the midst of this would have been a challenge. And can you imagine mothers, if you've birthed a child, anyone that's birthed a child, you know that how easy is it to keep babies quiet in that first few days and weeks. Ours were all different. Some cried more than others. But boy, when they were hungry, when they're tired, or when they had a dirty diaper, they sure let you know about it. And so you can imagine what that would have been like to try to keep that baby quiet. And we see that, like all moms, as they look at that baby, and some people, even if you're not a mom, you see a baby and you just fall in love. And you see that baby's the cutest baby. That baby's special. That baby's amazing. And so we see that the mom has this idea. He says it was a fine child. He was a beautiful child, maybe one that would have a divine purpose. And as this was no small task, they did their best to keep the baby hidden. And that in itself was this labor of love. This impact of a mother did everything she could to try to protect that baby. Well, when it became impossible to continue because, you know, that just would have happened, somebody was going to hear or tell, she did what she thought was the next best thing. Is she took this baby, this Moses, she put him in a basket, a papyrus basket, lined it with tar first, of course, and put it in the reeds by the river. And, you know, as I was thinking about this, I was just a couple of things that come out in mind. And I love one commentator said that Moses' mom actually did, in a figurative way, what Pharaoh had said to do. They said to put the baby in the water. Now, Pharaoh didn't mean to put him in a floating basket and do that, but she kind of was being obedient. The second aspect of this is, you know, for some reason, when I thought of this as a young child, I imagined that she just kind of pushed him off into the water, the raging water of the Nile, and said, "Go, baby, go." And that's not what happened. See, if you look, it says in the reeds, in the quiet areas, in the area where he would be protected. And maybe, just maybe, would be recognized by somebody else. You know, another interesting thing about this, and I didn't know this until this week, if you start diving into what the words mean, the same word that is translated here for papyrus basket was also translated for something else that delivered people, and that was the ark in Noah's time. This idea of this, these words that were intentionally chosen to describe this situation and what was happening helps us see that this wasn't just a hoping, this was a sense that God was in the midst of this. God was saving and He was working. And she puts him in this basket. She puts him in the reeds and kind of the safe area. Yes, trusting God that He would do this. But I also think that she was putting him in a specific place, just knowing perhaps what people would do around that time. We'll read later, and it says that Pharaoh's daughter came and was bathing in that area. And do you think that it was an accident that that's where Moses' mom placed him? I don't think it is. She was doing what she could to trust in God and believe that He would come through. You know, on a personal application, this really goes out for all of us in these tough situations in life. And as I look around the room, I see many of the things that are going on in your life, just the ones that I know about, whether it's back pain, it's cancer, whatever it is, shoulder, all those things that people are going through, and I think, man, this is some tough times. The challenge for us in this is the thing we can learn that Moses' mother teaches us is that we too can trust in God. We too can place our trust in Him fully. And in the midst of these difficult situations, so many times, I don't know about you, but I learn when I'm being honest, the most when I'm put in difficult situations. Situations that I would not choose, situations that I don't want to be in, but situations that because of life, that's where I'm at. And so we can either choose to get upset and worried, or we can choose to trust in God and believe that He's going to be working in that situation. What a reminder from this mother that she was doing with this little baby. You know, the takeaway for me in this section is that I want to live my life with complete and utter trust in God. I want to be able to say, yes, I trust you, God, and I'm going to take this next step, even though I don't see where it's going, or maybe I do see what's happening and I don't really want to go that way, but that's where God is calling me to take that step. Make the best decision you can with the information you have, and then trust in God. Moses' mom had a tremendous impact in his life at that early stage. Let us continue on. In verse 4, we've already read this, but I want to go back and read this again. It says, his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. We're not told in this passage right here, but we know this sister was Miriam, and she had a young lady. Obviously, she was old enough to know, you know, this was a young baby, and so she was older. We don't know how old, or at least I don't know off the top of my head. And she was in a place where she had a chance to make a difference. You know, we might read this verse, first of all, and go, she stood at a distance to see what would happen. And we would wonder, well, what do you mean, Pastor? What do you mean she had an impact in his life? Well, I think as we read down a little bit, and if we read in verse 7, we would see that this sister was at the right place and time to act when God was starting to move. See, Miriam chose a specific spot to put the baby down there, and yes, her mother would have had an impact in that, but she kind of probably knew. If you ever had, if you've had young kids, you realize, especially like in summers, man, they just like to run around everywhere, right? I can remember as a kid, and probably I think I was in sixth grade. We lived in Rockford, Illinois. We had a big housing development. It was all new houses. You know, that was the quintessential. You know, I would go out and ride my bike in the summer or go get in trouble. And if, you know, when my mom would either yell or she would say, when the sun goes down, that's when you need to return home. Weren't those the great days, by the way? Weren't those the great days? So I would run. I knew who lived where. I knew who had pools. I knew whose moms were home during the day. I knew who would give us popsicles. I knew which kids were most likely to do what I like to do. You catch what I'm saying? Like, I knew what was going on. I was only 12. Yeah, I was 12, and I wasn't very smart. I was a 12-year-old boy, but I knew certain things. And so I think in the same way, this young girl, she knew where a good place to place the baby. See, she knew, I think, that the Pharaoh's court bathed in that area. And yes, it would take God's intervention without a doubt, but she knew that if she placed the baby there, there would be a better chance of them being found. We see later in Exodus that Miriam has tremendous impact, not only on Moses, but in other areas in leadership. And so we can see that even at a young age, she too knew what was going on and was taking part in what God had prompted her to do. Yes, she was entrusted by her mother, which says something else too, right? Mom was willing to do this and trusted her to get this done. Her character and her actions indicated, I think, where her hope was, and that would have been in God, even at a young age. Personal application, is God asking you to watch out for someone today? Moms, you have young kids or growing kids, your primary focus is going to be in that direction, as it absolutely should be. But in different phases of life, ladies and men, is there somebody that God's bringing across your path that He's entrusting to you to intervene? And I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's a long-term friendship. I don't know if it's a simple text. I don't know what it is, but I think and I know that God brings people in our life for seasons, no matter how long or how short, for a reason. And just sometimes He brings people in our lives that He wants us to reach out to and minister to. Maybe it's a young people. Maybe it's an old person. Maybe it's somewhere in between. You know, this is true for all of us. And it's true for all of us as we live our life trying to trust God. Let us also always be willing to love others well and invest in their lives. You know, I heard something this week as I was studying for something else. And, you know, we remember Jesus is reciting the commands to us. You know, what are the two greatest commandments? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the other is to love others like yourself. You know, sometimes we get and we just say we want to love all people. There's nothing the matter with that, but I heard a pastor say this. He said, love each person. In other words, love each person that comes in your path each day. We all have people that cross our paths that we so many times don't even realize. But maybe, just maybe, God is crossing someone on your path for a specific reason. This makes me think, this week as I was in Aldi, my wife had given me a task, and she, you know, as a good wife, she gave me very specific topics, things that I needed to buy. Not only did that, but she told me exactly what store to go to. And I'm not complaining because, guys, is that a good thing or what? If your wife says, here, go here, do this, I'm like, got it. So I go to Aldi, and there is, guess what? Two items in that store that I was looking for, and they were gone. I was in a tizzy. I didn't know what I was going to do because that's what happens, and I'm just busting out of there, going on to the next store. I get almost all the way out to my car, and someone's yelling, Gary Bush! And she had to do it a couple of times, and I totally missed it, but I turned around, and I saw who it was, and it was someone I hadn't seen in a while, and I was just blessed. I stopped and said, God, thank you for bringing that person across my path. How many times has that happened to us? You're walking super fast, head down, one store to the next, and maybe, just maybe, someone was brought across your path that God wanted you to interact with. I don't know, but I know this. Not only should we live our lives so we trust God completely, take that step one at a time, but we should also love others well and be willing to invest in their lives as we go. And I think that is pictured here with Miriam, as she loved Moses and did what she could in her understanding to make sure he was okay. Let's continue on here in verse 5. Verse 5 says, then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket amongst the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Let me just stop there for a minute. Just point out, this is Pharaoh's daughter, so she's bathing here. She probably did this regularly, and the light bulbs go on, right? And we see, oh, this is probably why they placed Moses there, the baby there. And we see that she, even though it's not clear whether she, and probably didn't, for all intents and purposes, know God on a personal level, we realize that even in amongst this, she was part of this story on purpose. She saw the baby and she had compassion. She felt sorry for him and said, this is one of the Hebrew babies. And so immediately something is going to happen. Picking up in verse 7, as I mentioned earlier, it says, then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter. Catch that. Pharaoh's daughter wasn't hiding out in the weeds. She was obviously close enough to be called on. And she says, shall I go and get one of Hebrew... Catch this. I love this. Get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you. I love how God works in the midst of this. See, even in the midst of this rather quick, expedient story that has tremendous impacts, there's a reminder of God's sovereignty and how He works. And so she goes, I know someone who can nurse this baby for you. So in verse 8, she says, yes, go, she answered. And the girl went and got who? The baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. I love this. It says, find someone. Miriam knew what she was doing here, smart enough to see what was happening. And so the mother who had the faith and the trust in God to put Moses out there, because that's what she felt the Lord was asking him to do, Miriam takes him and places him in a spot where she's pretty sure that someone's going to come across him. And lo and behold, she does. And so now Miriam can spring into action and say, you want me to get somebody who can take care of this baby? God used this to bring Moses into a family that would eventually, he'd be raised as an Egyptian in that sense, in that home, who was a man of favor, who was a man of influence, that I believe was characteristics that God was building into Moses that he would someday need down the road. The takeaway for me in this aspect is that God is always at work. God is always at work. You know, so many times we don't see God working in the moment because we're in the midst of the moment and we're just trying to keep our noses above water and trying to keep all the plates spinning and doing the next thing. But I pray that you have time in your life where you can take a step back and just meditate and think on what is God doing in your life. And when you start to do that, you start to see all the ways that God is working in your life day by day, moving the needle forward. So what are some reflections for me? Well, this is one, is that I just love this passage, and it's just a wonderful reminder that God uses faithful women as part of what he's doing in this world. He used a mom and a sister as well as an Egyptian woman to impact and to have an influence on Moses' life. In fact, this is such an important aspect that it's recorded in Hebrews that we read earlier in 11:23. It records a portion of this and says, listen, this is part of the Hall of Fame, the Faith Hall of Fame. That's Hebrews chapter 11, is really this idea that these people were in the Faith Hall of Fame. You know, we put so much emphasis on the influence of some jobs in today's world, like, well, we even call them influencers, for crying out loud. People that get on YouTube and just start spouting off stuff. And there's a lot of good stuff there, but, you know, sometimes you just wonder, or we pay celebrities tens of millions of dollars to play a game, and then we have teachers that are starting out, that's just one profession, at the poverty line trying to educate our children. Sometimes we get things all twist-turned upside down. But in this Hall of Fame here, maybe we could not idolize, but maybe we can look at these individuals and say, look what God did in their life as a testament to what God is able and what God is doing. And may I be able to live with that same kind of faith. Now, we really know, if you're familiar with the story of Moses, that he goes on to do some pretty amazing things, delivering the people from the Egyptians, letting them wander through the promised land. Moses is not perfect. He made plenty of mistakes. In fact, he went against God at one point in time, and that prevented him from actually being able to take the people into the promised land. But he was able to do amazing things because of the power of God, and we can stem this all back to this initial interaction and how God worked in the birth and shortly after. Let me give you just three more takeaways from me. Moms, you are doing a great job. I want to tell you that. There's going to be times in your life where you feel inadequate or you feel like, well, I don't know what to do. And that's okay. That's part of life. But I want to tell you this, that God has chosen you to be the mom. And if he's chosen you to be the mom, he will equip you to do what he wants you to do. See, this is also a bigger thing to us as well that are not moms. God chose you, and he will equip you to do whatever he's asking you to do. See, God doesn't call the equipped. Rather, he calls those that he later equips to be able to do the job. If you'd have told me when I was in high school or college or even 10 or 12 years ago that I would be a pastor, I would have laughed at you. There's no way. There's no way. But God has hopefully equipped me in the ability to do what he's asked me to do. The same is true for you. Number two, God works in the lives of all of us. And what I mean by that is that God works in your life even when you don't realize what's going on. As a follower of Jesus, I'm trying to strive to be the best I can be, but I realize that none of it is possible without him. And God is working, whether that's in the forefront or the background, but He's working, and we can trust in that. Let us learn to be faithful in the season that we're given. Faithful in that season, regardless of how long it is. Rest in Him today and place your trust in Him and understand that He is at work. And the last thing is this, is that we're called to be, to faithfully serve those God brings into your life. There's going to be people that come into your life. Some of them you get along with, some of them you don't. Some of them are there for a short season. Some of them are there for a long season. We don't really know. We trust God to work out the details. But what I'm challenged to do even today is to faithfully serve those that God puts in front of me. May I stop asking, yeah, but God, or what do you mean, God? Or are you sure that person? Trust Him. Trust that He equips you. Trust that He's working in your life. And have faith in Him that He will help you serve those that are in front of you. I encourage you to seek the Lord. Invest in those that He brings in front of you. Maybe it's a young person. Maybe it's a college student. Maybe it's a single mom. Maybe it's someone you run into the gym. Maybe it's someone that works in a cubicle next to you. Maybe it's someone that always crosses your path when you're shopping at your favorite store. Maybe it's someone who runs across your path or works at a local establishment you go to, hypothetically Panera. You know, maybe there's somebody in your life that is running across there and you just think it's a coincidence. God is not a God of coincidences. We may not understand what's going on, but I believe God is working. Let us have our eyes open to see what He's doing. Let us see others as He sees them, with a compassionate and a broken heart for the lost. Let us have that passion that everybody we would come in contact with, we would be able to impact their life.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.